Studio 360.
The relationship between arts organizations and the companies that help fund them can get dicey. Here in New York, we just went through the Shakespeare in the Park brouhaha. For a production of Julius Caesar, the title character was costumed to look like President Trump. Because in the play, like in real life 2,000 years ago, Caesar is assassinated by some Roman senators, Trump's supporters thought or pretended to think that the production was condoning the assassination of the president.
Anybody who watched this play tonight, and I'm sorry, there's going to be a couple of spoiler alerts here.
That is Oscar Eustace, who is the artistic director of the Public Theater and specifically the director of this production of Julius Caesar.
But we'll know that neither Shakespeare nor the Public Theater could possibly advocate violence as a solution to political problems, and certainly not assassination.
Bank of America canceled their support of the production, and Delta Airlines went further, declaring themselves no longer the official airline of the Public Theater. If arts organizations don't like any strings attached when corporations donate money to them, it could be argued that maybe, sometimes, they should turn away the money in the first place. For instance, consider the billionaires David and Charles Koch, who've donated gazillions to all kinds of cultural organizations, including the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the American Ballet Theater, New York City Opera, the Museum of Natural History, many, many more. Meanwhile, Koch Industries, their private company that's in all kinds of industrial businesses, including especially fossil fuels, have also indispensably promoted the climate change denial movement. They've funded experts and think tanks to cast doubt on the scientific consensus that global warming is real and mainly caused by CO2 from burning coal and gas and oil. When President Trump withdrew recently from the Paris Climate Accords, the director of Columbia University's Earth Institute, Professor Jeffrey Sachs, said that just wouldn't have happened without the Kochs.
This is the victory paid and carried out for 20 years by two people, David and Charles Koch.
This combination of the Koch brothers' political and economic advocacy with their cultural philanthropy was the subject of a recent Washington Post column by Philip Kennicott, the paper's art and architecture critic. Kennicott thinks that because the Koch brothers do so much to undermine environmental science and policy, arts organizations and museums should not, on principle, accept their money. Philip, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks for having me.
So, to the degree that the Koch brothers have funded PR and media that encourages denial of scientific fact, I couldn't agree with you more that that's a bad thing. But arts organizations desperately need funding, and the hundreds of millions that the Kochs give are as green as anybody else's money. So what's your problem?
I actually agree with you to the extent that I don't think culture and arts organizations should be in the business of vetting every single dollar for ideological purity.
Good.
I think that puts them in a very unfair position. And I think it also further politicizes the arts in a way that we don't want to see happen. My argument in this piece is that there is something about what the Koch brothers have managed to do and the impact that has already had on our political, our moral, and our intellectual life that is actually going to make things very difficult for arts organizations in particular. So the impact is one that is specifically arts related.
You make this really beautiful, eloquent case in your piece that we create and enjoy art in part to communicate with these hypothetical people of the future. Then you say that won't happen, i.e. these future people won't look at our art or read our novels. That won't happen if the planet dies. Now, it seems to me when you say the planet dies, as opposed to seas will rise, cities become uninhabitable, agriculture will change, there are all these disasters that global warming will possibly create, but the planet dies?
Well, it depends on who you want to listen to. I'm not a scientist myself. Prominent climatologist for NASA has basically said that we've passed the threshold of carbon densities at which basically we're going to be living on a planet that was not adapted for civilization. If you look at people who are in a position to have to make predictions about the future, about what climate change will actually do, a lot of very smart people are making some very dire predictions. The Pentagon, for instance, is not sitting around debating the science of whether or not global warming is happening.
Nor should they be, or anyone else. You will get no argument from me about those real possible grave effects of climate change.
Let me, if I might, turn this around. Can I ask you a question? Is there any kind of money that is too tainted that an arts organization shouldn't accept?
That is the great question. And yes, the answer is yes, of course.
So now we're debating where is the line, right? It's not whether or not...
Yeah, but of course there's a line in all things, right? Some people think the Kochs should be pariahs and nobody should accept their money. I'm not sure how I feel, but should a Nazi or people who are murdering hundreds of thousands of people directly, should they be off the scale? For sure. So, of course, we're arguing what's bad enough. And you mentioned earlier in our conversation about that kind of slippery slope, that we don't want to start applying a virtue litmus test to all donors. That's what I worry about, is that slippery slope of like, well, this guy or this woman or this company does this thing I disapprove of.
And that's why I do think it's important that in most cases, arts and cultural organizations are given the benefit of the doubt and given the freedom to go about their way without being held to a standard that is examining every single dollar and every single association that they make. The issue here really does hinge on whether or not climate change is leading to a world in which the products of civilization that we so highly cherish and that we want to pass on will simply have no audience for us to pass them on to. That's what scares me. And I hope that I'm wrong in that sense. But that means I also hope that a growing number and an ever sort of increasing consensus of scientific opinion is wrong as well.
Although what you are saying in your piece is that arts organizations who get the money from the Kochs with no strings attached should nevertheless figure out a way to not take their money.
There is this other question which we haven't talked about yet, and that is the intangible benefits that come back to the donor through association with something that is culturally beloved. The kind of whitewashing or reputation cleansing.
It's laundering in your view.
Laundering.
Yeah. My biggest issue with the idea that arts organizations should forswear this money because these guys do these bad things and we're laundering them and we're prettifying them and normalizing them or whatever is that it won't do any good. It will make them feel virtuous, but it won't actually denormalize them or slow climate change down or anything else. It's a vanity, you know?
Well, you've looked at it from the perspective of the arts organization. But let's speak hypothetically about a donor who's had his $100 million refused by an arts organization on principle. I don't think it's ridiculous to say that that might cause some serious reflective thinking to the person who was trying to give that money. Why was it refused? What have I done that has become anathema in the public square?
Yeah, you might be right. And on the one hand, I think of somebody like the Kochs, and if one reads interviews with them, they're very intelligent people who have considered these issues, as opposed to, say, a Donald Trump-type person who appears to be shameless and hasn't considered these things, and you probably wouldn't effect by not taking his money. So I'm a little dubious that the salutary effects won't be outweighed by the fact that some good arts organization or museum will have 10 or 50 or 100 million less to do good things with.
Well, I think that you'll be pleased probably because I suspect that I will not convince anybody staring down a $100 million donation not to take it. And in a way, I will admit that my expectation of succeeding on that rhetorical level was fairly low. What I want to do, however, is to underscore the simple idea that anxiety about the climate is not an issue that is miles and miles and miles away from what happens inside museums and opera houses, that it is connected at a deeper level, as I said, about this notion of stewardship and the passing on of civilization. And it goes really to the heart of the aesthetic experience to want to believe that we're going to have a livable planet and subsequent generations to participate in these things.
Philip Kennicott, this has been a delight, and I hope we can talk again.
Well, I hope next time I can lead you entirely to enlightenment and assuage any doubts you have.
Anytime. I'm welcome for that to happen. Anyway, thank you, Philip Kennicott. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Philip Kennicott is the art and architecture critic for The Washington Post.